Good afternoon, brethren. I don't know how many of you follow sports, but I tend to every now and then. As a kid, baseball was my favorite sport. I was a big Cardinals fan, and I followed it really closely because my brother was a Cubs fan, and of course, Cardinals and Cubs played a lot. It was always something that we would rag each other about. Now, I haven't followed baseball that much lately, but this week there was some news out of baseball, and the whole baseball world was rocked by a big drug scandal. I don't know if you saw it, but two of the best players were caught taking performance-enhancing drugs. And some of these guys I had watched over the years, and they seemed like really class acts. And it got me thinking, why do people do things that they know are wrong? Now, added to that this week, I have a neighbor that's been going down the wrong path lately, and he doesn't make much secret of it. But he posted a statement on Facebook, and since he's one of our neighbors, I guess Rachel's one of his friends, that really struck me. His post said, "You don't need to have religion to have morals. If you can't tell right from wrong, you lack empathy, not religion." Now, I thought about that, and the more I thought about it, the more I realized how opposite from the truth that statement was. You see, humans, we have an amazing capacity to justify just about anything we want to justify if we really put our minds to it. And if you can justify basically everything, which you can, then morality is merely an ever-moving target constantly being modified to ensure that you're a good person. And that's a lot how I think this world sees it. Whereas real morality doesn't shift like sand, but is set and is established. And without morality being firmly anchored to God's word and his will, then it really doesn't exist at all, because it's different for every person. Let's turn over to Proverbs 21, verse 2. Just want to read real quickly. Proverbs 21 and verse 2. This is not a new problem. It says, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts." You know, we can look at everything we do as being right. We can find a way to make it seem that way if we really want to. Now, I want to turn over to Luke. And that was back in the Old Testament, Solomon's time. It was the same condition in Jesus' time. Jesus made a comment. If you turn over to Luke 12, we'll start in verse 54. "Then he also said to the multitudes, 'When you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be hot weather, and there is. Hypocrites! You can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? Yes, and why even of yourselves do you not judge what is right?'" Now, Jesus here is telling the crowds that they spiritually weren't discerning right from wrong. They weren't picking up on spiritual things. They could see the physical world. They could understand that if this happened, then this would happen. They had that down, but when it came to spiritual things, they didn't have that. Now, where then should we look in order to know right from wrong? I think all of us basically know the answer to that, but we're going to review that today a little bit. If we turn over to 2 Timothy, we'll read in chapter 3, we'll read verses 13 through 17. So 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 13, it says, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, God's scriptures, his very word, tells us what's right and wrong. I think we know that. But what do we do about that? Now, Paul makes another statement. If we turn over to Romans 7 and verse 7. Romans 7 and verse 7 says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, 'You shall not covet.'" Now, Paul's making a pretty obvious point here. He wouldn't have known that it was wrong to covet, but God's word told him so. It was always wrong to covet, regardless of whether he knew it or not. But God's word tells us what is right and wrong. Now, sometimes we might be tempted to rely on what feels right. But if we do that, we're pretty much guaranteeing that at some point we'll head down the wrong path. And Jeremiah talks about this. If we turn over to Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And the human heart, it is deceitful. It can deceive itself. It does deceive itself quite frequently. If we want something bad enough, we'll find a way to convince ourselves that whatever we need to fulfill that desire is justifiable. So my first point is that we really need to be reading the Bible. We need to know what God says is right and wrong, because it's in the Bible. That has to be our foundation for what's right and wrong. But there are some people who believe that knowledge is the end of the journey. That just knowing right from wrong is basically, hey, that's the goal. But really, it's just the beginning. Because that knowledge needs to be put to practice. If we turn over to Galatians 6, just want to read Galatians 6 and verse 4. It says, "But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load." We must examine ourselves. We need to take what we know the scripture says and really look at our lives and see if we're living what it says. And I'll give you a little hint. You're not. And I'm not. And that's what we should be looking for. If we turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck out of your own eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye'? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye." Now, so often I've heard this scripture be used by the most irreligious of people. They know this one. And they always say, "Hey, don't judge me." But what may at first appear to be a command not to judge is actually very much a command to judge. It's just that it's a command about who we're supposed to be judging. We need to be taking a good look at ourselves. Again, our human nature finds it so easy to find the tiniest flaw in somebody else and totally gloss over the most obvious flaws in ourselves. And too often, we can use somebody else's flaw as a justification for our own. God's standard needs to be what we measure ourselves against and not someone else. You know, it's very easy if you're in an environment where things are going on around you to just almost be desensitized to it. You know, if we have the right relationship with one another, and I think the scripture's sort of talking about this here, if we're really all working towards God's standard, we'll want and appreciate when somebody else helps us out in finding flaws in our own lives. Of course, we have to have that relationship with one another. And if we don't, let's read the next scripture, the next verse down. It says, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." You try and correct somebody who doesn't want to be corrected, and you're going to pay for it. It's going to blow up in your face. I can attest to that. I've done that many times, especially when I was younger. But we should be examining ourselves. That's critical. And I want to go on a little bit further with this. If we turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it expands on this a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to read verses 1 through 8. It says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? And how much more things pertaining to this life?" Now, I'm not going to pretend that I fully understand everything that that says. But I do know that at some point, God expects us to be able to judge by His standards. I don't know when that is, but at some point, it will occur. To the point that God's going to entrust us to judge angels. That kind of blows my mind. But too often, we get in the mindset of don't judge, when what God really means is don't condemn. We certainly should not be condemning anyone, because only God knows the hearts and the minds of an individual. We can't see that far. We can't see through people like that. But we should be able to recognize right from wrong. If we don't, we will become desensitized to wrong. It just won't seem that bad. If you live in the midst of something constantly being wrong and you turn a blind eye to it, eventually it won't seem that bad whenever you do it. We might be a fool to say anything that would incur the wrath of somebody who doesn't want to be corrected. We shouldn't probably do that because God warns us about that. But we should recognize sin as sin. This is one way that we can live in the world and not become part of it. I have one last scripture then. If we turn over to 1 John chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 5 through 10. So the second part is definitely we need to be judging ourselves. We need to take what we see in the scripture and examine ourselves. And we need to apply it then in everything around us to know, is this right? Is this wrong? Even if we're doing it or if others are doing it, we need to be able to distinguish. But 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." So after we examine ourselves and our environment, we are bound to find that we've fallen short. Some little bit of darkness is always there. And we must confess to God where we're falling short when we see it. And we must turn to God for his help. This is part of repentance. We confess that we've sinned. We ask God for his help in putting the sin away. And then we try to move closer to the path of light. We mustn't delude ourselves. There's always something for us to find. If we examine ourselves and realize that we've messed up, then we need to follow through with the process of repentance and really have faith that God forgives us and removes our sins from us. That isn't to say that there aren't consequences for sins that we may still have to deal with. But more importantly, we need to be concerned about moving closer to God and His way of life, His light. And brethren, there is always room for us to be moving closer and closer to the light. And that, brethren, is really the end of the journey that we all hope for, to be walking in the light with God.